really going to preach. We're going to have Alex talk, but go ahead and be seated. But in reflection on the, you know, that notion of a grain, like if a grain of wheat, a grain of wheat can remain a grain of wheat and never be anything other than a grain of wheat, right? It has this potential for life. It has this potential to do, to bring about new life and new possibility. But unless it falls into the earth and is buried and dies, it cannot live, right? And so this metaphor that is at the heart of our faith around what does it mean? I mean, this is a kind of essential metaphor that actually in order to save your life, you must lose it in order to live, right? And to be something more than just the grain of wheat, to be what God calls us to be. The people of grace have always felt that part of that call to be more than just a grain of wheat, but a grain of wheat that bears fruit, is to do outreach. So outreach has been integral to this community from the very beginning, way back in the day when Grace got founded, and they committed 10% of pledge and plate to outreach. And they gave money away to the local community as a way of loving their neighbor. It was, you know, since the time of Wren that we've also discerned that outreach is, this is true, I think, from the very beginning as well, that outreach is not just the giving of money, it's actually being involved with and getting to know and learn and understand who our neighbor is. If we're called to love our neighbor as part of this faith journey that we're on, part of loving our neighbor is actually knowing who our neighbor is. It's actually being curious. Well, who is my neighbor? Where do they live? What's their life like? What happens for them? What's their experience of living in these United States at this point of history and at this point of time? Because they are my neighbor. So we are part of North Kitsap, and one of the things we're doing in terms of outreach is every month we're highlighting different nonprofits and organizations that we partner with and support. One of those organizations is Kitsap Immigration Assistance Center. And Alex is here to speak to us from the community they call Kayak, about our neighbors who happen to also be immigrants here in North Kitsap and what their story is. So Alex, without further ado, I'm going to invite you to the lectern and let you speak.
Good morning, everyone. I just want to say I'm very, very grateful to be here. I appreciate you all, and appreciate you to Eric, Kim, for inviting me. And first of all, I just want to say you guys have a lovely church. It's beautiful. And me and my fiance were looking at it in the website, and it just looks like it's part of the nature, and I love it. So. Thank you for having me, and I also have my mom here, Maria, who I migrated here with back in 2015. She's my hero. She's everything to me, and I just look up to her. She's a warrior. My brothers, too, Sebastian, Melissa, Alex, and Petrona are here, and my fiance, Jacqueline, she's here, too. We're getting married next year. And my son, who is no longer in the room, he's probably in there, was probably wanted to hang out with me. But I just want to say, I just want to really just share a little bit of my story, my journey when I came here, and hopefully it may give you, you know, an example of what it means to migrate. So I grew up in Guatemala in a small village called Ixnanconop, just a couple hundred people. It was mainly the language that they were speaking is Conjobal, completely different in English, I mean Spanish. And I always would watch these movies, right? New York and, you know, different places, and you would see the skyscrapers and buildings, and I would just sometimes dream about them. Like, how would it feel like to be in America? And so I grew up with my mom, with one of my other brothers, Carlos, and but everybody else I never met. I have five brothers and one sister. But most of my brothers I did not grow up with. They migrated here decades ago to find a better life for themselves. And you know, when it comes to that, I just think the United States is a place of opportunity, safety. And I have so many friends that are in the Navy and the military, and I just have so much respect for them. Because it wasn't for them, you know, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but there's no one trying to get out of the United States. Everybody's trying to come here, right? We're not trying to let somebody not go out, right? And I think it's because of the opportunity, the opportunity to thrive, if you can choose to. I think the United States is built on free enterprise, that you can create your own economy and you can create your own dreams. And it's just lovely to see that is very true. And I'm very grateful to be here. I became a citizen, U.S. citizen last year, and I'm just very, very proud to call myself an American. So. So I migrated here in 2015. I was 15 years old. That was the first time I got out of my village. I didn't know anything outside of my village, you know, and I thought that is the whole world. That's how it looked like. And I came up here and I just hoping for safety and opportunity, you know. I'm just a little kid who had a dream, and I remember that the first time I walked out of the SeaTac airport, I was so excited because that was the first time I met my brothers for the first time in person, because I would talk to them on the phone, but my whole family, you know, there was quite a few. There was like 10, 15 people and my uncles, and they were just there to receive me and my mom. And it was the best, one of the best days of my life, because I'm now able to unify with my family. And so that was a wonderful experience. And then there comes the culture shock, right? I mean, there's so many things that they were completely different than where I grew up with. The food, the language, the time concept is different. Here, you kind of have to get going, right? quite a bit. There, you can't really notice Monday, Tuesday, you know, because everybody kind of just works differently, right? And I started going to school. And it was about 2015, so I started as a ninth grader, didn't know any English. And I was pretty stressful, because it's not like I didn't want to talk to anybody. I did feel, you know, okay, I can definitely notice that I'm not the same, and I come from a different place. But I just wanted to fit in. I mean, as a 15-year-old, you know, teenagers, we always want to fit in, right? And so that came with stress, and I was just, you know, wanted to grow, wanted to show everybody that I do want to conversate, I do want to talk, I do want to get to know you, right? But it's just the language was a barrier. And before I wanted to talk to that, so there's this story that I wanted to share with you guys. So I was 120 pounds when I got up here. And 2 months later, I was 155. I was eating a lot of teriyaki. that was my favorite food. And yeah, I love it. I still eat it. But then I had to go to the doctor, and they said, welcome to America, you know? But, you know, then I started, like, you know, working out, and I was able to then feel like I feel better now, right? Because I felt so tired all the time, right? And so I just had to take care of my health. And then I actually met my fiance 10 years ago. I migrated here. It was my first friend who I was able to meet. She was actually my neighbor, and she actually also came here from the Philippines. And so she taught me how to speak English. I would talk to her every day. I told her that I would help her in her Spanish class, and so that she could help me with Spanish. I mean, in English. And so. That's where we got to know each other, and 10 years from now we're getting married next year, and so, you know, it's been quite a journey, because 6 months later I was just so motivated because nobody spoke Spanish in my class, in my school, just like one or two kids and one Spanish teacher. And she got so annoyed because I was like, ¿Cómo se dice esto? ¿Cómo se dice esto? Like, how do you say this? How do you say that? And but 6 months later, I was able to then slowly be able to make conversations, simple conversations with everyone. And I, you know, I graduated 2018, and I just had a desire to just be better, because I said, if I can learn English, I can do anything, right? Because it was tough. It was definitely very hard. And while I was going through this 2016, I had a trial for immigration judge. And actually a nonprofit up in Seattle, I don't know if you guys have heard of NERP, Northwest Immigrants Rights Project. And they're a huge organization that Kayak also does the same thing here in our area, in our county. And they were able to give me a free attorney because we could not afford it. And so 2016, we won our case. And a year later, I was able to be a green card holder. But when I was in front of the judge, he asked me, so what do you want to do in the future? What do you want to do when you grow up? And I've never really thought about it. So I was really there and I was pressured. So I said, I want to become a doctor, right? Like, you know, that's what came up to my mind. So, and he said, never forget your language. Never forget your culture, where you come from. You have to be here, and you will follow the laws. You will adapt to this society, to this country. But never forget your language. Teach your language to your kids, because if you don't, it's gonna get erased. And your culture, the way you speak, your clothes, your dress, and everything. And I really appreciate that coming from a judge. And he also said, look, I'm giving you this opportunity, but I can also take it away. And because of that day, he could either tell me and my mom that I was going to go back home, back in Guatemala, or stay here with my family. So it was also one of the best days, because there I felt like, okay, a sense of freedom, a sense of that, okay, I get to stay now. I get to just focus on school and everything. And long story short, I also went to, when I graduated, I was able to travel back and forth, and I went to find a very isolated village down in Guatemala who they didn't have power, running water, and I was able to talk to one of the leaders, and we were able to bring solar panels to them, so we brought light to 13 houses, I think, and it was a beautiful experience, because the kids also have, even though they didn't have a lot, but they were so happy. They were so, so happy to just have a soccer ball, you know? And they were happy with what they were doing. They, you know, they were such a hard-working young kids. And just that experience, you know, and I always want to give back to Kitsap, and I also want to give back to my home country, right? And so that's where Kitsap also came into my life, Kayak. Started working with them in 2022, and I didn't know that Kayak existed. I didn't know how many people that they were helping. And Ray Garrido, one of my good friends, he lives in Port Orchard. He's such a hard-working person, but he says, he always talks to them. He says, my payment is you, that I get to help you as a brother, and that I get to help you and your family. And just people like that, like you in this community, in this church, that have such a servant heart, and that I think you forget about yourself when you help others. So, and then, like I said, I'm very grateful for every single one of you for supporting Kayak, because if it wasn't for you or the volunteers also, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. And thank you for all the service that you guys are doing. You guys are doing beautiful work. And, you know, like Margaret, she is helping my mom speak English, you know, and that is beautiful. You know, she gets to go and hangs out with her, and she gets to feel a sense of community that sometimes I can't provide because I'm always working or doing something. But I just want to thank you with in the deepest heart of my soul that there's people out there that need just sometimes a hand to thrive. Sometimes they just need to, you can do it, you know? And so, but thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
Yeah, and thank you, Alex. And so some of the things that Kayak does, they help with family support services, they help with legal services, they help with, you know, business and tax services for immigrants who are, I mean, if you're coming from a different place, you don't understand the language, you don't understand the culture, having that kind of assistance is really helpful in terms of getting yourself established. You alluded to how important it was that you had a lawyer that was provided for you. And so, anyway, just so you know, that's actually one of the things that we support as a congregation. Some of our outreach monies goes to support Kayak. So it's important that we know that and are aware of that. And some of our congregants volunteer. It's a place to also volunteer. So hopefully we'll hear from them sometime and hear some of their stories. So let's move then on with the rest of our service. So let's rise for confession.